Going Linux, episode 96, Computer America, number 24. I'm Larry Bushy, the host of Going Linux.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is an internet audio program, a podcast, for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows, or just thinking about going Linux, this audio program will provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use your Linux computer. Our goal is to help make the Linux experience easy for you.
Each month, we publish three episodes. We begin the month with a listener feedback episode. In our feedback episodes, we read listener email, play listener-generated audio, and answer listener questions.
On the third Tuesday of each month, I appear live on the Computer America radio show. We post those episodes, minus the commercials, as Going Linux episodes.
Our user experience episodes appear near the end of each month. In them, we normally take 2 months to explore a topic related to Linux. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts.
During month two, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for computer users building their confidence and competence with Linux. This is my 24th appearance on the Computer America radio show from March 16th, 2010.
It's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in your favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America show. It's the nation's longest running nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. It's Tuesday, the 16th of March, 2010, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Kerry Holzman. Today is Linux Tuesday. Every third Tuesday of the month, we cover the topic of Linux.
Yes, we do. And because the Linux operating system continues to be and become more and more popular, especially in the wake of Microsoft's, Vista debacle, although Windows 7 seems to be so much better. But the question is, Linux, is it right for you? It's an important operating system. So on every third Tuesday of the month, as Kerry said, we devote the entire show to Linux in order to answer questions like that. And if you have a Linux question, tonight's the night for you to give us a call. Joining us is our Linux expert, Larry Bushy. Larry is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. Hey, Larry, welcome to Computer America. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show again.
Yes, and you're not in a hotel this time.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sitting comfortably at home watching the sunset on the west coast of the United States.
I mean, you're not walking
isn't
on the
that a beautiful sunset?
Is it weather today, too.
Is it a screensaver or the real thing?
No, it's the real thing.
Okay.
This is what screensavers are made from, my friend. It was a beautiful day. Where are you at?
Well, I'm not quite on the coast. I'm in northern Orange County, which is most famous for a small place you might have heard of called Disneyland.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that.
Anaheim.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm not in Anaheim, but I'm just outside in Yorba Linda. And
before the days of GPS, I remember I pulled into a gas station, and I said, how do I find Disneyland? And the guy said to me, you go down to Catella, you take a right. And so I'll never forget that. You go to Catella, you take a right.
Yes. It doesn't matter where you're coming from.
Actually, it's amazing. It's amazing because last time I was at Disneyland, it used to just be you drove down this main street, and you turned, there's a big sign that says Disneyland. It had some words or text underneath of it, and you made a right turn into the parking lot, and it was a huge parking lot. Now you turn into what is basically Disney City. You go down Disney Avenue, and you turn on Disney parking lot drive, and it takes you to a parking garage, and there's no park anywhere to be seen, and you get out, and there's this tram, and you get on the tram, and it drives for what feels like an eternity
and
to the gates.
And it takes you to downtown Disney, where all the shops and the commercials.
Yeah, and I'm like, where am I? This doesn't look at all familiar to me. I've been to Disneyland 15 times at least. And this was, I'm like, whoa, whoa, where was the parking lot? Well, that's now Disney California.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the world changes all around you.
Now, I understand a lot of the computer the exhibits are controlled by computer controls, and they use Linux a lot over there. Is that true?
They do use Linux a lot. I don't know about controlling the animatronics and that sort of thing. Those have been in place quite a while, since they built the park, I guess.
Yeah, but Linux has been around all that time, or at least Unix has. Maybe Linux.
Linux has, yes. Linux, early 90s.
Okay.
So Linux is a more recent thing than Disneyland. But, they do use it for the movies and the animations on the movies, of course. We've talked about that on the show before.
Yeah.
And, but I just don't know for sure what they use for controlling the animatronics. They may use something even simpler, like an NC machine or something. I don't know.
Hmm.
Haven't looked into it. I will.
Hey, listen, the question already in the chat room. We want to know what you think of Fedora. And I'm not talking about hats. Okay.
Oh. Fedora.
Fedora. He wants to know what you think of it.
Well, Fedora is one of those Linux distributions that is derived from Red Hat, which is probably one of the most recognized Linux distributions out there because it's mostly used for servers and has become very popular in the business world. And Fedora is derived from there. It is one of the Linux distributions that's extremely easy to use. It has been designed with the user in mind, and I like it very much.
But it's designed for beginners, you're saying?
Well, not necessarily beginners, but it is designed to be easy to use. So there are those Linux distributions that are designed specifically for the geek who wants to get in there under the hood and tweak things and design it exactly the way they want it to be. And then there are the others like Fedora and Ubuntu and Linux Mint and so on that are designed more for the user who uses a computer like the average person does, who isn't looking for a command line tool that they can, run scripts on.
Let's face it, Linux really has its roots in that kind of user, though, does it not? The tinkerer. That's where it really has its roots, and all the other ones have come about because so many people were just saying, if you want me to use Linux, you got to make it as easy as Windows at least or something along those lines, right?
Right.
Yeah, and it has come a long way over the years. And as I said, it started in the early 90s and was very much – it didn't even have a graphical user interface to begin with.
Mm.
It was all command line. And, and
well, so was DOS.
Things. Exactly. And they have added additional features to it and made it easier to use. And today, depending on which distribution you choose, you can get a distribution of Linux like Ubuntu, like Fedora, like Linux Mint. There's a whole raft of them that are designed for the average user to use. And if you were a user who had never used a computer before and someone sat you down in front of a Linux computer and then sat you down in front of a Mac, and then sat you down in front of Windows, and said, which one do you like the best? The computer user who has never, or the user who has never used a computer before, would probably find them very similar in most respects. They all click and drag and move around in Windows. And so I think Linux is on par with every other major operating system out there.
Well, more questions about something called Puppy Linux. Is that something? Yeah. I haven't even heard of that. Have any thoughts about that? We'll come back to this. I always say that with guarded when it's something about I don't know. This is the Computer America Show. It's all Linux tonight. We'll continue on. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. They're getting silly in the chat room, but that happens sometimes. I mentioned Puppy Linux, and they wanted to know if you can install it on actual puppies, and I said only if they have Intel inside. If you want to join in, you certainly can. There's several different ways you can Join in on the conversation toll-free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-8255. That'll get you on and get you through. Email live, L-I-V-E, at computeramerica.com is another way to reach us, or join us in our chat room where the craziness is going on. You go to computeramerica.com on our homepage there. It says chat with us. What you do is you make up a username. That's the name you'll be known by when you go in there. Click the login button and your Java-enabled browser, be it a Windows machine, Mac, Linux, Windows, Vista, 7, Snow Leopard, it all works. We'll move you into the chat room. Larry Bushy, our guest this hour and next, is also participating as well. And we got a caller. Now, one of the things that I like to do, Kerry, is we have a caller on and we help that person, and then they call back to let us know, you know, what the result of that help was, Kerry. And yes. So that's what's happening here tonight. Charlie, who's listening to us in Park Ridge, Illinois, spoke to us about a month ago. He asked Larry for some help on our show, and he's calling back to let us know how it worked out for him. Hey, Larry, Computer America, Craig Crossman, how are you, Larry?
Yeah, I think you're talking to Charlie.
Charlie?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie. That's right. I am sorry, Charlie. Charlie, that's right. And Charlie called, and Larry helped him about a month ago. Okay. But we still have Larry here, too, Charlie.
We're not confused at all.
No, we're not.
Okay.
So Charlie, how did it go?
It came out very great. I thank you, Larry, very much for sending me those two discs. Loaded the latest version of the 9.10. I can get on the internet. I can get my emails. I have only one problem with that one. Probably I'm missing something on there. I cannot get Computer America on there.
Oh, no, then it's a total failure.
Then it's a total failure.
Exactly.
So I can get it when I use Windows 7, no problem. But I can use YouTube. I can use other things. There's probably some other things I need to add on there. But I can get on the internet. Before, I could not get on the internet.
So what are you basically saying?
I remember this call where we thought maybe the driver wasn't installed for the network card or something.
Yeah.
I switched from the 8.04 to the 9.10 that Larry sent me. He sent me two discs. He sent me that, and he sent
nice
me a Linux Mint, which I have.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah, and I suspected that based on our conversation that it was a driver issue, and I knew that the later versions of Ubuntu would have the latest versions of the drivers, and we took a little bit of a chance and sent them a couple of CDs.
Before you couldn't what?
Maybe the driver wasn't installed.
Charlie, I think you're on a speakerphone. You need to get off that because we can't hear you, okay?
Okay, I'll get off the speakerphone.
That's it. You see, that was the first thing we could detect. Now, yes, much better.
Okay. The only thing, like I said, is saying that I cannot get Computer America on there on the internet with Ubuntu. I can get you with Windows 7.
Right.
But that's the only problem I'm having with Ubuntu.
Okay, you think it's a codec?
I have no idea what it is.
Well, wait a minute. What Larry's going to tell you, Charlie. Larry, you think it's a codec problem?
It could be, or one of the current weaknesses with Linux is some of its audio handling. And Charlie, just to kind of nail this down a little bit, when you say you can't get Computer America, are you trying to stream it over the internet?
Yes.
Okay, so you click on the streaming link?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think if you were to install VLC, Video LAN Client.
VLC?
Yes, VLC. V is in Victor.
Okay. Oh, VLC.
Yes.
Yeah, VLC.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an audio player that plays just about anything at all.
It's excellent.
And I know Addison in the chat room has given some alternate links to the stream that work in VLC quite well. So you might want to watch the chat room there. Maybe he can put that in
okay.
for you.
I notice when I get Computer America using Windows 7, I use the Windows Media Player.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I get you, and it works out fine. The only thing is, another question I have for Larry is, he sent me that second one with Mint on there.
Yep.
And I hear some good things about Mint, that Mint's supposed to have all these things built in together. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. Mint comes with a lot of things that aren't installed automatically within Ubuntu. The Java
driver, for example, that enables the chat room, the add-on chat that we use here on Computer America, that is installed by default on Linux Mint, whereas in the past it hasn't been in Ubuntu. A lot of the other codecs, as we've been talking about, things that make audio and video work, they're all installed automatically and by default in Linux Mint, whereas you have to install them separately in Ubuntu. And that's one of the reasons why I recommend Mint over Ubuntu in many cases. Hmm. It's because it has fewer things to set up, especially for those people who are newer to computers or just want the computer to work without fiddling and tinkering with it. And Linux Mint has all those things installed, and you have fewer things to worry about. YouTube works out of the box. Add-on chat will work out of the box. You can play MP3 audio files out of the box with Mint, where none of those things will work right away with Ubuntu without installing other things.
Okay.
All right, Charlie?
Oh, one last question.
Well, wait, hold on. We're going to take a break. We'll put you back on hold, and we'll bring you back on. You can ask your other question, okay, Charlie? So hang in there. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. It's all Linux tonight. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. It's all Linux tonight. Charlie, who's listed was in Park Ridge, Illinois, is on the air with us. We got part of a problem from last month corrected for him, and he was calling to let us know that. And Charlie, you say you have another question for Larry as well?
Yes, I do, Greg. The question I have is... when I installed the latest version of Ubuntu, I noticed I still have the other one on there, and I can open up either one. Now, my question is that I would like to put Mint on there also, but would I have to uninstall the other one, or can I have both of them on?
Well, as I recall, you have two very big hard drives on there.
Yes, right? I have two internal separate hard drives. A terabyte each.
Yeah, given that, you probably have enough room to install Mint on there as well, if you wish.
Okay.
So it's up to you. You can remove the other two installations of Linux if you wish, or you can just install Mint alongside it, and then you'll be able to boot from Windows or 8.0 or Ubuntu or 9.10 or Mint. Your choice.
That sounds great.
All righty.
That sounds great. I sure appreciate it, Larry. You did a yeoman's job there. and for the guys on the station, great. You helped me a lot. You had a lot of patience with me.
And Charlie, listen. Keep listening, and also we're glad that you called, and keep listening. Now, hopefully, you'll be able to listen to Computer America. You'll be able to listen to Computer America on the stream now on Linux. Okay.
Great. We'll try it.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. All right, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number. There's several questions in the chat room, and I wanted to kind of get to those. This mention of Puppy Linux, they want to know if it was any good. This is a tiny version of Linux?
Yes, it's a small version of Linux. It's designed for primarily for computers that are either low-specification computers like netbooks or something like that, or older hardware. It's particularly good at running older hardware, and that's because it's one of those distributions that you can actually install on a thumb drive and run it from a thumb drive if you want to. It's designed to be a very small footprint on the hard drive, very low on resources, but by the same token, although it's a full-fledged Linux distribution, it doesn't have some of the features that you might come to expect if you're to use Fedora or Red Hat or Ubuntu or Linux Mint or any of the ones we normally talk about here. So it's a little more limited from the perspective of features, but if you have a very old computer and you need to bring it back to life, or you just want to experiment around with something very lightweight, Poppy Linux is a really good one to do that with.
Now, Addison in the chat room says that today you don't have to try a bunch of the distros like the old days. Most people would be happy with Ubuntu or its companion Mint, and I see that you agree with him on that statement.
Oh, absolutely. And there are literally hundreds of distributions of Linux that you could choose from. And if you go to a site like distrowatch.com, along the right-hand side, they have the top 100. And some of these I have never heard of, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Things like Moon OS and, let's see, Black Panther Linux.
Slax, and, S-L-A-X is another one that's mentioned here.
Right. There are quite a few there that you may or may not have heard of. And the top two on the list are Ubuntu and Fedora. Number three is Mint. And number four is OpenSUSE. And these are not rated by the website itself. DistroWatch is a well-known website for listing the features of Linux distributions, and they aren't rating these. They're rated by the visitors to the website. So these are users of Linux rating the various distributions.
Well, everybody is now picking their favorite distribution in the chat room, so we started up. Hey, listen, we're just going to break for 60 seconds, and we'll continue on with this. And we haven't even gotten to the theme tonight for our Linux show, but we'll get to it. This is Computer America. We got prizes to announce as well. Stay with us.
And we're back with the Computer America show. It's 40 minutes after the hour. We're broadcasting live, coast to coast, on the business and the lifestyle talk radio networks and around the world through the web at ComputerAmerica.com. And we're talking with the podcast creator and host of Going Linux podcast. It's all about Linux, and it's free. You can download it and listen to it at your leisure. And the topic tonight, we're always giving our listeners ideas for how to use Linux, how to get Linux installed, what version of Linux to pick, how to use it. We take emails, we take phone calls, just as we did, to answer questions. But we just do this once a month. Maybe as when Linux, there's no maybe about it, when Linux gains more popularity and there's more demand, we'll do Linux shows, dedicated Linux shows, more often. But what do you do in between shows when you need help? Now, if you're like me, I don't like to ask anybody for help. Maybe it's a pride thing, whatever, but I don't want to pull over and ask anybody for directions. That's why I like GPS. I don't want to have to ask anybody to go into my computer and get a file for me that I forgot while I'm away from my office. That's why I like remote access. How about me being able to help myself teach a man to fish? Or in this case, teach a man to Google for Linux help. Can you help me, Larry?
Yes. Yes, I can. And there are a number of ways you can Google for Linux help.
Did he just turn into Obama for a second there?
Yes, we can. but I'm not going to be on C-SPAN, okay?
who knows?
That's riveting television there. All right, so what do we do? Let's say I'm having a problem.
Yeah.
Well, let me be more specific.
Yeah.
Let's say I've got Linux installed and I'm trying to listen to Computer America podcast. I can't seem to figure it out.
Yeah.
So I can wait and talk to you.
Right.
The next time you're on, this time next month.
Right.
Or empower me. How do I go about helping myself?
Yeah, well, Google is your friend, and they do a lot of things for a number of different special interest groups, if you will, not the least of which is Linux. They have actually a special Linux search page, and you can get to that by typing in your normal www.google.com, but then follow that with a /Linux.
Really?
And what that does is takes you to a special Linux search page. It's got the Google logo there with a little Tux Penguin, Linux mascot in the background. And when you type in your search term there, it filters up to the top the Linux-related topics about which you're searching. So if you want to look for printers, for example, you can search for printers. And when you search for printers, it's going to give you information about printers and Linux. And the one that comes up on my search first, once you get past the ads, is HP.com, WW Solutions, Linux Printing and Imaging, right at the top of the list. So it is pre-filtered when you use this dedicated site for filtering, for searching. It is pre-filtered so that it's going to show you the Linux-related topics first. And so you can search for anything you like in there, and it'll find a Linux-related thing if it can. So
in this example, what would I search? Like, what would my search term be if I want to listen to the stream,
uh-huh.
and I've got Ubuntu installed? It doesn't have, apparently, from what I'm gathering, it doesn't have the streaming software built into it.
Right.
So what would I type in? Like, how can I hear internet streams? That sort of pulled up radio stations and such for Linux. That didn't seem to be a good search term. Is there any tips or tricks to how do I decide what are the right words to put in that search engine? Because that's going to really affect your search results.
Right, and that is always the challenge, whether it's Google or Yahoo or Bing or any other search engine, is finding exactly the right terms to use. And using this page will help you a lot by automatically filtering it using Linux as the filter. And coming up with the right search term is something that Google has helped with in their search help pages. And we'll have some links in the show notes to a couple of help topics that Google has provided, one on basic searching. And that gives you some hints and ideas as to how to find what you're looking for. And another one on advanced search. And that gives you some additional information as to how to refine your searches once you've gotten good at defining the terms. So to use your example, you could search for things like, you could put in a sentence or a question like, how do I listen to Computer America using Linux? And you probably wouldn't get the information that you're looking for because, first of all, Google and most search engines don't respond well to that kind of lengthy question.
Well,
the shorter the better.
Yeah, but you know what? When I typed in, apparently, the words Linux and Computer America, the first four results are going Linux.
No kidding.
2010 show notes, 2009 show notes.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so it's.
But
it's
we'd have to be more specific, right? Because we just don't want to say Linux. We'd want to say Ubuntu or whatever our specific flavor of Linux is, wouldn't we, to have the search results be more.
Yes,
okay.
That's one way to do it. If you have a specific distribution of Linux that you're using, you will want to put that in there. But for streaming the Computer America show, the best results to find out how do you stream audio using Linux is just to type in streaming audio. And that brings up a lot of hits from a number of different sites, all related to streaming audio on Linux. That's assuming that you're using the google.com/Linux page.
So in that example, you just raised a good point. I don't need to put the word Linux in the search engine because I'm already at Google's Linux search page. So the word Linux is implied that you're going to be searching. So if I said streaming audio space Ubuntu.
Yeah, right. Right. And then
I see results that are more directed toward. There we go. First link, Ubuntu Media, Multimedia How-To.
Right.
How-To exactly. Linux Tutorials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How to record streaming audio, how to capture mm-hmm. streaming audio. I want to listen, so maybe I need to change it, listen. But that's listen streaming audio, Ubuntu. Mm-hmm. The first link comes up the same, Ubuntu Multimedia How-To.
Right.
That's at linuxforums.org. There's my quest for a Linux audio player. That looks like it might be relevant to what I'm searching for.
Right.
So really the key with any search is picking the right words. You don't necessarily need words like and, mm-hmm. the, of. You can skip those words. Go right to the actual nouns, or in this case, the nouns and the verbs, and say, like in this example, I typed listen, streaming, audio, Ubuntu.
Right.
And the results I'm seeing, several, at least two of them look like they would answer that question so far.
Yeah.
Out of 1,800 results, by the way.
Right, and that's one of the tips that Google makes on their basic help site, or the basic search tips, and that is keep it simple. Just use the words that you would find printed on the screen when you get the results that you're looking for. So instead of saying, how do I, you say streaming audio, because the words on the article that you'll be looking at, once you find the right site, will be streaming audio. They won't be, or listening to audio. They won't be, how do I listen to audio? That's your query in the form of a question, which isn't the way Google is going to find it on the page. So you've got to kind of think the way the person has written the post that you're looking for and
right.
search for those terms.
Now, we might get there one day where you can actually type that. I know that's been ask.com. That's been their claim to fame, is you can ask a regular English question, and it's still kind of iffy with its results. I still prefer Google as far as the results go. But on the other hand, I've used it so often, I'm usually quite good at pinpointing the right words to get the results that I'm specifically looking for. But there's sometimes situations that, you know, there's a song in it, and I'm looking for a song, and it's got the words O in it. Okay, so I know it's a song, and it's got the word O and love.
Right.
Well, every song ever written comes up as possible lyrics, you know. I'm like, oh, geez. So, yeah, having those...
A little more specific than that.
Yeah, so the more specific you are, the more specific Google will be in return. I guess that's the safest way to put it. All right, I'll tell you what, the music means it's time for a break. We've got one more segment this hour, and then another hour of All Linux on Computer America is coming up.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, 866-606-TALK, live at computeramerica.com or the chat room at computeramerica.com. Larry Bushy is with us this hour and the next. We'll continue on with it. Right now, the topic for today is Googling for Linux help. We'll continue on with that. Also, we have questions on, we'll open phone lines for Larry, and we're going to go to your emails too. A lot of you have sent in emails with Linux questions, and we'll probably get to those in the second hour. So, Larry, as we wind up the first hour, anything else that you want to mention? I know that they continue to make comments in the chat room. I don't know if you see what's going on there.
Lots of comments.
Anything else that you want to mention before we about the Googling and finding Linux help and assistance?
Right. Well, one tip that I can give in this short little segment that we have here, and that is, if you want to exclude a term, let's just say you're on the regular Google search page and you want to search for Windows, but you don't want to search for Microsoft Windows. You're interested in maybe Anderson Windows, you know, for your home, or maybe you're interested in Windows and other operating systems. You can put a minus sign in front of any term that you want to exclude. So if you type in Windows space minus Microsoft, it will give you all kinds of Windows results that aren't Microsoft Windows. If you just type Windows into a Google search, you'll get a lot of Microsoft stuff right up at the top.
Yeah, you know, that's a great tip. It also works on eBay and other sites where you do searches.
Exactly.
It's sort of a ubiquitous, you know, if you're searching for something and you're getting results mixed in with a lot of things you're not interested in, you can use the minus sign and subtract out that specific word and then search again, and it'll filter those out for you.
And the opposite works as well. If you want a word included that normally would be excluded, like the word to or the or some other word that you want to make sure that all of your search results include, put a plus sign in front of that word, and it'll ensure that that word is included. So if you want to search for Windows plus Linux, you'll get a lot of interesting results.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, music means we got a break at the top of the hour, and we will continue on with our All Linux Show tonight. It's the third Tuesday of the month, and we always dedicate that to Linux, both hours, hour one and hour two. We'll get to your emails that you've written to both me and to Larry with Linux questions. We'll get to that in hour two. We'll be right back after your local and national news. This is the Computer America Show. Stay with us.
Yep. Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA certification, Drupal Camp, multiple parties featuring Dual Core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Rift Tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.
Live, it's the only national radio talk show on computers to air every weeknight, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. The first hour's behind us, but there's still more of tech news, tech talk, and your phone calls. We're being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. You got computer problems? Bring them on. You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-TALK. Or send us an email to live@computeramerica.com.
Hello and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Kerry Holzman, and he's our guest, the host of Going Linux, the podcast, Larry Bushy.
Yes, he is.
See that? I mixed it up a little bit there.
Yes, you did. I'm totally mixed up. See? Okay, so, hey, Larry, you still with us?
I am.
You are? Okay, just checking.
We
heard some heavy breathing on the other end. We weren't sure. So,
this is why Craig's doctors, you know, the whole thing about being a doctor didn't really pan out for him. Constantly going up to the patients. Are you still with us? Thanks for your confidence, doctor.
Are you still with us?
I'm surprised you're still with us, yes.
There you go. Well, I do that with Kerry. I'll say, you know, hello. Kerry, are you still
is this thing on?
Yeah, the thing is he does it like Biff on Back to the Future, where he knocks on my forehead.
Hello?
Hello?
At least I didn't say for you to make like a tree and get out of here, you know.
And he doesn't call me a butthead, so that's good.
No,
but,
I can't say that on the air, that's why. Well,
I just did.
I know, you just got that. So we're doing. You have to be quick here. We're doing Linux. We're going to continue on
quick.
We're going to do some emails that you received over the month.
I have to tell you, this is my favorite part of the show.
Yes. Okay. So
you can see Craig cares. No, really, I enjoy it when we get the listeners writing and asking their questions. This is what it's all about.
Because
if you don't write in and you don't ask your questions, then we have to guess at what it is you want to hear. And often when somebody asks a question, this is what I've learned in my years and years and years of experience. Not that I'm that old, but what I've learned is that often when somebody has a question, when that one person has a question, there's at least five other people, like in a classroom scenario, that have the same question, but they weren't brave enough to ask it because they thought, well, it's a stupid question, or I'm the only one who doesn't understand. I'm the dummy, and I don't want to make everybody aware I'm the dummy, so I'll just keep my mouth shut and keep nodding my head as though I understand. And then when that one person asks that question, you hear a few voices in the classroom go, oh, yeah, why is that? So be that one person and ask your question.
Stand up. Speak out.
Yeah, the only thing better than email is someone calling in so we get to talk to them one-on-one.
That's true.
That or just receiving a large, rare check in the mail that you weren't expecting.
Even better.
That's pretty good, too.
Even better. Yeah.
So I hear Dave wrote to you from his iPhone in this email.
Yes. Linux users using iPhones.
Wow, what a concept.
Yes, so Dave wrote us, and he said, I just listened to episode 90 of Going Linux. Someone wrote in saying they were having a hard time syncing their iPod in Linux. Larry said that it is possible with Play on Linux and iTunes. As far as I know, Wine does not have USB support, so this would not be possible. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Rhythmbox, and by the way, Rhythmbox is a media player for Linux, Rhythmbox works great for uploading songs to the older non-SSD iPods. The iPod Touch and the iPhone can be jailbroken to allow transferring songs through SSH. The best option, although I hate to admit it, is installing iTunes and Windows in VirtualBox. Everything works, including updating firmware. I enjoy your show, Dave.
No, wait, why would he want to hate? So you use Windows and VirtualBox. You're still in Linux. I mean, why not? Why is that such a bad thing?
Yeah, well, you know, I recommend people use VirtualBox and Wine and all kinds of things get what they want. And there are those Linux purists want to use Linux and only Linux. And there are even those who go even further and say, well, we shouldn't use things like Flash and MP3 codecs because they are proprietary in nature and Linux is free. And, you know, I'm much more practical than that. You do what you can.
Right, and if it works, it works.
Exactly.
Be happy.
Well, you've got to ask yourself, what's the sustainability if everything with computers was all free? There would probably be no music, or certainly none that was popular music. There would be, you know, little, probably fantastic, little undiscovered bands releasing their music for free. But how long could they continue to do that? Because we all have bills to pay. And there's got to be a balance, is all I'm saying. You don't have to necessarily lean all the way on the Windows side, and you don't have to lean all the way on the Linux side. But somewhere in there between them,
find a balance.
You should find a balance, harmony, a zen. Yeah. The zen of operating systems.
Yeah. See, Dave answered himself. He says everything works, including updating firmware. If you use the Windows VirtualBox. So you know, using Windows in a VirtualBox. And so, I mean, if it does the job, you know, I can't see any reason why other than you just said it's some sort of purist reasoning behind it. I think that you're correct. I think Dave basically just enjoy that it works, be happy it works, and move on, you know.
And move on. Yeah, enjoy life. Don't
sweat
the small stuff.
I mean,
right?
You know, exactly. You know, I can understand if it didn't work and he couldn't do it and he had an iPhone and he wanted to do something. Okay, but you found a solution. You know, it does the job. It works, and it works perfectly. You know, there it is.
Why make life difficult?
Exactly.
For yourself?
All right, there you go. That's our comment, anyway.
And there we go. And so, Dave, I hope you can get something from that.
There you go. He says he enjoys the show. He says maybe he won't. Now he won't do that.
Well, you know, we have all kinds of listeners to the Going Linux podcast. Those that are purists and those who are purist Linux users and those who are a lot more practical. And the two hosts of the show, myself and my co-host Tom, tend to be more on the let's be practical about things and do what it takes to make things work side of things.
Let's
and
not cut off our noses to spite our face.
Very well put. Very well put.
There you go.
Otherwise, you talk like this.
Yeah,
very true.
Well, we have another email. Should we go on to it?
Sure. Calder in Canada?
Calder in Canada. He wrote me about a very frustrating problem his friend was having.
Quote, unquote, friend.
Exactly. Having tried to get support from Acer. He forwarded the message to me. Well, that's right. That's the ticket. We'll stick with that story. Okay. So he says, Acer Aspire 1. This person apparently speaks in bullet points. So here you go. Acer Aspire 1 seems to use Linpus version of Linux. There is 8 gig native memory plus 4 gig in added memory via SD card. Netbook purchased on 2010-01-26. That's Canadian for January 26.
Yeah, he has it a European way. Yeah,
there you go. From Canada Computers. Need to install both Skype and Opera browser as Firefox cannot access the Toronto Real Estate Board. Both Skype and Opera browser downloaded. When I try to install, it requires a password to access the, quote, BIOS. When I access the startup via F2, there is no password in the BIOS setup. How does one install a program?
How does one access the BIOS in order to install a program? I'd like to install Opera and Skype. All the rest of the pre-installed stuff appears to be okay. A copy of the user manual has been attached, and he included that in his email to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we'll have some show notes to some of the things that I sent off to him in terms of links to help solve this problem for him. But apparently, Acer uses on this particular version of Acer Aspire 1, which is one of the older ones, they installed something called Linpus, L-I-N-P-U-S, and they have customized it for some reason to lock it down. So they've installed a software password that you have to know in order to install any additional software. So they're forcing you to stick with what it came with, so you can't install anything new. And they do not publish that password. In fact, they are very reticent to give you that password.
Really?
And so the Linux community to the rescue, someone has reverse engineered, in other words, cracked the password, and in one of these links has given some information as to how to enter that password and then re-enable what normally is a normal process with Linux, which is the ability to install software, like Skype,
wow.
And like Opera. So this apparently, I'm not sure whether this is a Linpus issue or whether this is an Acer issue, but this is just a travesty that they would install something like this and then lock it down so that folks just can't use the computer to do the things that
Why would they think they would do that?
I mean,
they don't want people poking around in there and doing, because the BIOS, let's face it, you can really mess things up badly.
Well, yeah, but this isn't a BIOS issue. I did a little research on it, and it is, in fact, something that is not in the BIOS, but rather in the operating system itself, and they have deliberately hobbled it so that you cannot install anything more. And maybe they just thought that, oh, well, it's this new netbook thing with a small hard drive and slow processor, maybe we shouldn't allow people to install stuff and then have to deal with support calls.
Terry, and all your PCs that you work on, have you ever had a password locked on the like this? On any of the computer systems?
I've had passwords, but you can usually just move a jumper and wipe the password out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And so this is... You take a free operating system and you mess it up. You know, this is completely contrary to the philosophy behind Linux, which is open and shareable and community and helping one another to accomplish what you need to accomplish. And to lock something like this down, just a shame.
And the guy found the password just by reverse engineering it, you said? To figure.
Yeah, that's my understanding. And from doing my research, I came up with a couple of posts from one on Linux.com and another on the Acer Aspire 1 forum where somebody had provided a back-end hack to get in there and make it do what you needed to do. I recommended that he just completely wipe out that installation of Linux and put something more useful on it, like the netbook remix version of Ubuntu, or even Linux Mint runs just fine. Just the full version of Linux Mint runs just fine on netbooks as well, I found. So that was my recommendation to him.
All right, well, good. Another problem solved from the Linux community. We'll continue on with more emails. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK. That's the toll-free number that'll get you on and get you through. Email us live, L-I-V-E, at ComputerAmerica.com if you're radio shy, and join us in our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. It's all Linux tonight. We'll continue on with it right after. Welcome back to the Computer America Show, the Business Talk Radio Network, and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. It's all Linux this show tonight. Larry Bushy, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, continues on with us. And we're doing some emails that Larry has we heard from Dave and Calder in Canada. And now we're going to talk to we're going to read an email that Paul wrote to you. Larry?
Yeah, well, maybe we can talk to him as well. He can listen on the radio.
There you go.
So Paul was having a little bit of trouble booting an Ubuntu Live CD. He wrote, "Hi, Larry, going to stop bothering you after this."
Yeah,
he had sent me about 8 emails, so just wanted to let you know I fixed whatever the problem was, and it was so simple I kind of feel like an idiot. I run a dual-screen setup, Dynex 19-inch LCD TV, as my primary display, and an Insignia 32-inch 1080p TV as my secondary. Never had a problem with the rig before, but I also never tried to install Linux with it. Apparently, all I had to do was unplug the secondary display during the initial setup, and then, after the first reboot, plug it back in again. Again, I feel like a moron. Maybe a good piece of information to pass on to listeners who run dual screens and may have had the same problem. I suppose Linux was, dare I say, confused. I thank you again for your words of wisdom, and I shall keep listening as long as you keep broadcasting. Keep fighting the good fight.
Why should it be a fight? It should be easy.
Well, not only that, but, you know, I think it's a shame when people insult themselves. Oh, I'm a moron. I should have known. When software that's written well should accommodate the user. The user should not have to learn to accommodate the software.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that this is one of those situations where the software could have been written to recognize that dual screen on installation. And that was really the problem. He was trying to boot from a live CD, couldn't get his second screen to work, and no matter what he tried, we were looking at drivers, we were looking at all kinds of different things, even trying different distributions to see what the problem was, and it turns out all he had to do was boot first with only one screen and then plug in the second one afterwards, and it recognized it just fine. Why it didn't recognize both screens at the beginning, I have no idea, but obviously a bug with Ubuntu and its installer, and with a live CD, and hopefully they have fixed that problem. I have installed Linux on computers with two screens attached and have not experienced that problem myself, so I'm wondering if it has something to do with his particular configuration, or maybe it was the particular version of Linux that he was trying. I don't remember now. This email's from a couple of months ago. I don't remember now which version of Ubuntu he was trying to install, whether this may have been an older version, and they may have fixed the problem. One of the things with Ubuntu is they come out with a new release every 6 months, and there's a new release due out next month, which is a long-term support release. And the releases in between long-term support releases, which come out every 2 years or so, are more experimental releases. And so if he was installing something that wasn't a long-term support release, oftentimes you can expect these kinds of issues to come up. But if you're using a long-term support release, they are designed to be extremely stable. They stop development much earlier in the process on the long-term support releases, and they lock down as much of the software and all of the accessories and the applications that come with the version of Linux that they are providing you well in advance to ensure that things are working properly. And if something becomes flaky right at the end, they'll pull it out, and they will not include it in the long-term support release just because they want to make sure that those releases are the ones that people expect to be working perfectly. And it could be that he was using one of these interim releases in between those two-year long-term support cycles.
Larry, Jack in Toronto wants to know, how many monitors can Linux support?
Oh, man, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, we know it's at least two.
At least two. I think it may be more of a limitation of your hardware. How many video cards can you have in your hardware?
Well, that's very true, too, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah, that is true. All right, listen, we're going to take a break here, and we'll continue on. It's All Linux Tonight. This is the Computer America Show.
You're listening to us on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK. That's the toll-free number if you want to join us. We'll continue on with more Linux right after this. You're listening to Computer America. Larry Bushy continues on with us. He is the host and creator of the Going Linux podcast. And right now, we are actually reading emails that you sent to him on the show. And we're going to go to now from, I think, Zonrick is his name?
Zonrick, yes. Regular listener to the podcast, Zonrick. I'm not sure what his real name is, but...
Well, that's not his real name?
No, I'm pretty sure that's not his real name. That seems to be a handle that he uses on forums and so on.
All right.
So maybe it is his real name, but...
Could be.
Yeah, maybe he goes by Zon.
or Rick. Exactly. Maybe he's torn between he doesn't know, so he calls himself Zonrick. You know?
There you go.
Undecided.
So, sorry, Zonrick, we're busting here, but that's okay.
Yeah, Paul, before that could have been his a nickname, too. His name might be Paul.
That could have been, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Anyway, Zonrick writes to us. He says, hi, guys. I got rid of my VirtualBox XP today. We were talking earlier about somebody, you know, being practical, using XP or, Windows in a virtual box.
Yes.
Well, Zonrick is going the other direction. He's saying he's gotten rid of his virtual box XP today. He says, I have been using it to play my games, but a buddy told me about Play on Linux, and I got some of my games working with it inside of Ubuntu.
Some of my games, not all. Okay.
Everything
was working fine with VirtualBox XP, but
we got to get
some of them working on this one. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I get it. All right.
Want to be a purist again. let's continue with his email. He says, it's a little funny with how it works. You install your software from the CD and some apps, mostly games.
Some.
You need to have a no CD patch.
Is that something you wear on your arm?
Behind the ear, like on a cruise. So let me read that again, because that didn't make sense to me. Some apps, mostly games, you need to have a no CD patch. Ah, I get it now. Some games require that you have the CD in the drive. So there you go. It tells you when you will need them when you select the software to install it.
Mm-hmm.
He continues, I know Wine is what a lot of people are using for Windows applications, but I found it kind of picky and somewhat complex with getting it working. That's why I found Play on Linux so helpful, as it configures Wine for you. We'll continue with the rest of this and with my response.
Yes, and we'll find out why Zonrick, we don't know if that's his name or not, but Zonrick decided to get rid of his virtual Xbox XP, which completely worked, for something that doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
We'll continue on. We'll figure it out in 60 seconds. I'll be right back.
It's 40 minutes after the hour. This is the Computer America Show. We're broadcasting on radio stations across the country, on the Business and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks, and on computers around the world through the web at ComputerAmerica.com. This is our Linux show. We do this every third Tuesday of the month, where we dedicate both hours of Computer America to the topic of Linux with our guest, the podcast host of Going Linux, Larry Bushy. And Larry's reading some emails that he's received to the Going Linux podcast, addressing them here on the show. This one was from a listener, Zenrick, who was talking about the ability to play with MP3 files on Linux.
He
wanted to play Windows games on Linux, and some of them needed a patch, a no CD patch. What, he doesn't have a CD player? He can't put the game in the CD?
I don't know what the thing was there. It may be that the Play on Linux under Wine doesn't recognize CDs for some reason.
Mm.
Hmm. more.
Well,
more,
go ahead and continue.
More compromises to get the thing to work. Anyway, he continues. Let's see, where did we leave off? That's why I found a Play on Linux so helpful, as it configures Wine for you. The site says there's an occasional performance decrease, but it's not as bad as a permanent performance decrease like I had with running games out of a virtual XP installation. Your friend and listener, Zonrick. So let's add this up here. So he had the games running in XP. He finds a way to get rid of XP altogether to play some of his games with a performance hit. Sounds fine to me. What do you think?
Well, the performance hit, though, that's a killer in most games.
Well, exactly. I mean, and, you know, I'm surprised that he mentions that there's a bit of a performance hit with Play on Linux, because typically speaking, when you're running an operating system inside of a virtual box inside of another operating system, you're going to take a pretty hefty hit.
Yeah.
On performance. And Play on Linux, we haven't talked too much about it on the show, but it is a CD, essentially. You burn yourself a CD, which allows you to install a lot of Windows applications that run inside of Linux. And the way they do that is they install a customized version of Wine. Wine is not an emulator. That's the name. Wine is not an emulator. That's what it stands for. It is a Windows environment that actually doesn't emulate, per se, the Windows itself, but rather translates between what a Windows program wants to see, that is Windows, and with Linux. And so Play on Linux installs a customized version of Wine that's tweaked for that particular game. And so each game comes with its own tweaked version of Wine, and it works better than just installing Wine yourself and then installing the game or any other Windows program that comes on the Play on Linux CD yourself. So it does run better. It does run with as minimal a performance hit as you can get, because you're not running a full version of XP or any other version of Windows inside of Linux. You're running just the part of Wine that's required to get the game running. And if it works, it works very well. But as we've kidded around a bit here, it doesn't always work with everything. So you do have to make a bit of a compromise when you use software like this.
All right, well, good to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, setting the expectations is very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that exactly. Helps prevent disappointment.
Well, on the other hand, on the very practical side of things, using Play on Linux is an extremely useful way of installing what programs you love from Windows, but you can't run in Linux normally, and that includes things like iTunes. We were talking about iTunes earlier.
Really?
Play on Linux has an iTunes installer that installs a version of iTunes that works just fine and allows you to subscribe to podcasts, download music, and...
Now, Play on Linux is completely free and 100% compatible with all versions of Linux?
Yes, it is.
Larry, I just wanted to caution you. I want to get this last one in from the Philippines, and we have about just enough time probably to get it in. So
okay.
Why don't we kind of get from Vaughn, who wrote to us from the Philippines.
Sure. Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
So Vaughn did write to us from the Philippines. He said, "Hi, Larry and Tom. I am writing from the Philippines, and I just listened to the Computer America show from February while commuting, where you were talking about antivirus solutions for Linux. I recently had virus infections in three computers and had no confidence in AVG Network Edition cleaning up the mess that it had allowed onto the computers in the first place. So to answer the one caller's question, yes, you can use Linux to clean a Windows computer, and it simplifies the cleaning process as you don't have the malware running preventing you from cleaning the system. I booted the computer with Kaspersky Rescue CD, and he provides a link to that particular software, and was able to scan the Windows drives before booting them again to run other Windows anti-malware software to make sure the machine was clean and the registry settings were restored. Bitdefender also has a Rescue CD for this purpose, and he provides a link there as well, which I have also used on occasion, he says. They both have very clean interfaces, though if you need to set static...
If you need to set a static IP address with Kaspersky, yeah.
There you go. Okay. Right. And he found that he needed to do that in order to...
With the command line interface,
command
yeah.
Command line interface,
exactly.
Sure.
He needed to use the command line interface to set the static IP address with Kaspersky. Okay.
There you go.
Sure. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's pretty much it from Vaughn in the Philippines. So we'll include some links in the show notes there for the Kaspersky and the Bitdefender. Bitdefender is the one I think that we mentioned last time was the top-rated antivirus software to
does that
run.
Does that come from Russia? Does that come out of Russia?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Click on the link and see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, exactly. And well, good, and I'm glad that he listened. I'm glad he's listening to us in the Philippines as well, too.
Right, exactly, and yeah. And commenting on another listener's questions, we like to see that as well.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, if people want to email you at the show, they can just do that at what's the email address they send you information to?
goinglinux@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. It's just that simple.
Yeah, just that simple. And if we want to. If you want to look at the website, it's goinglinux.com. You can find us on, let's see, Identica and Twitter and Facebook and all those wonderful places as well.
So I guess the bottom line here is, as we've had from at least two people running the writing to you, is that they want to give up running the virtual box XP, and they strictly want to do it on Linux, and I guess we just and the only conclusion we can come up is that they just want to be it's just because they're being purists about it, which is not a bad I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that that's the again Carrie
might
and
have
I,
to lower your expectations a little bit if you want to be a Linux purist,
right? And our point to new users, obviously we're not going to change people's minds who are that way, but and that's not our intention. But again, my impression, my feeling has always been if I can get something to work, you know, and it works well and it runs everything, and it does it in its own particular way, that's fine. You know, I have
well,
no problem
and again,
with that. Yeah.
It's about meeting expectations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you want to insist on doing something a specific way, mm-hmm. and that way is going to have some consequences that mm-hmm. you may not like, mm-hmm. you need to know that that's your decision,
yeah.
and that comes along with that decision. And if you're okay with it, great, but certainly don't complain about it. I don't know that
right.
that person was complaining about it. But the point is that with the right expectations, there's no reason why you can't be a Linux purist.
No.
Right. Exactly.
But don't say I want to be a Linux purist and then turn around and say I want to run all this Windows software on it and I can't and I'm frustrated. That just,
right,
that's
exactly.
You know, a little
that's
hypocritical.
The point. Yeah. That's the point right
that's,
there.
And that's the point that I wanted to bring across here.
Well, then you're both welcome.
There you go. Thank you, Carrie. All right, we're going to take a little break and we'll continue on with more Linux right after this. You're listening to Computer America. Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. Larry Bushy from the Going Linux podcast. If people want to listen to the Going Linux podcast, Larry, where do they go?
GoingLinux.com, or if you're on Windows or Mac, you can go to iTunes and subscribe there. So lots of places.
Okay. And what's the next topic going to be of the Going Linux podcast?
Well, we've got a couple of things up in the air right now. We're thinking about doing an interview. If we can get that scheduled, that'll be our next show. And if not, we have some other interesting topics in the wings, including some things on cloud computing that we have been threatening to do for quite a while and have yet to do. But we always have something interesting to talk about right after the Computer America episode that we we include as one of our posts for the month. We have three episodes a month, and Computer America is one of them.
And thank you for that. And we've done many, many shows here at Computer America on the topic of cloud computing, mm-hmm. whether it's backup or running applications. We have a calendar program called Easy Web Calendar. They're going to be on the show again. They're coming up on the program in April, where we use a calendar that's in the cloud to coordinate our guests and everything. So, I mean, there's a Kerry, I think, is a strong supporter of cloud computing, and he'd like to see most everything up in the cloud, you know. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and there's a lot of stuff. All of it, of course, works with Linux and Mac and Windows because it's in the cloud.
Right.
That's another advantage. It's virtually platform independent for the most part. Once in a while, I'll see something show up that is a cloud computing, and it says, sorry, we only work with Windows. Or
mm-hmm. That's usually when it's new, though. Yeah. That's usually only when it's new. Usually when, you know, after they get everything settled, then they start introducing Mac versions and Linux versions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is just
typically.
Well, Larry, listen, it's always a pleasure having you here on the Computer America show, and certainly look forward to having you back on the program again. Again, it's the Going Linux podcast, and at goinglinux.com. Larry, thanks for being here with us tonight. We look forward to you on the next in April, on the third.
I'll be here in
Tuesday
April.
Of the month.
Yes,
okay, we'll see you then. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. Good night. Coming up tomorrow night, it's Wednesday Madness. Open phone lines, your phone calls, your emails. We've got a whole bunch of emails that we've kind of been saving up because we just haven't had a chance to get to them. So, and feedbacks, and we'll get to all of that tomorrow night. So it's anything, any questions you have about computers and technology, Wednesday Madness is the place to be. Don't forget to head over to ComputerAmerica.com and enter in our contest. We're giving away some great stuff from Logitech and from Aiolo Technologies. Head on over there and get your entry in now. So until tomorrow night, this is Craig Crossman hoping that your hard disk never becomes floppy. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Good night, everyone.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.